Blog Talk Radio.
Special song for both you, Jeff, and you, Tommy, because you're a good team.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe a ragged and funny, but they'll travel along singing a song. Side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow, but they'll travel alone, sharing a load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, why if the sky should fall, just as long as they're together. Because it matter at all. When they all had the quarrels and parted, they'll be the same as they started. Just to travel along, singing their song, side by side. But to travel along, singing a song, side by side. But they'll travel the road, sharing a load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as they're together, it doesn't matter at all. When they all have the quarrels and parties, they'll be the same as they started. Just to travel along, singing their song. Congratulations, Jeff. And Tommy, you two are the best.
With the players.
Come on, live, direct from hell. Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to the special edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course the wide world of sports. And guys, it is one of my favorite shows of the year. It's Thursday, July the 8th. Happy birthday to my younger brother, Richard Florio, out in California. I talked to him today. He's doing fantastic. Happy birthday, brother. I love you. It's a special show. It's Thursday, July the 8th, which means it's only 2 days to that special time of the year where we all, the sun revolves around one particular human being. And on this show, we celebrate that every year, the Thursday, either on or before. And tonight is the annual Jeff birthday show, his 55th double nickel for Jeff, my friend of 40 years. I can't believe I say my buddy is 55, but he is my buddy. He is my brother, and I love him to death. And how much he tortures and harasses me, I do love him dearly, like he was, like we shared the same blood. That's how close I am to Jeff and all my friends, but Jeff and I, we spent a lot of time talking. So, again, happy birthday to my brother from another mother. We have a lot planned tonight. We're going to do some sports. We're going to do some music. But this is the Jeff Birthday Show. I got a lot of stuff. I got videos. I got celebrity videos. I got people calling in. We got tons of stuff coming up on the show tonight. So I am looking forward to that. But first, I want to thank our good friend Leonard Anthony, our Rosebank cousin, for that first song, which is kind of might turn into the show's theme song. A little side-by-side, Jeff and I. I might try to turn that into a theme music for the show, but thanks to Leonard. I got another one from Leonard coming up a little later in the show. He'll be featured here. He's a great guy and my Rosebank cousin. So thank you, Leonard. I see you out there, so thank you very much. Again, we got a lot to get to. I'm going to start the show right away. I got so much, but we only got 2.5 hours. We got people calling in, so I want to get some sports in between. I know Jeff's got a lot on his mind. So let's kick off the show. Guys, welcome to Thursday. I hope you guys had a great week. I hope your 4th of July was good. And listen, I hope you get through the weather tonight, the heat. But sit back. Oh, before I forget, next 2 weeks we have guest Darren Michael Boyd. Guitar player will be on with us next Thursday. And the return of Bobby Gustafson, July the 22nd, before he hits the road with Violence. Bobby's going to check in with Jeff and I, first time on video for Bobby. So we're looking forward to Bobby coming on back. Catching up with him a bit. So we do have some guests coming up and big shows. And remember, the 29th, we will have no show. I'm taking a vacation. So that means Jeff's taking a vacation, unless he wants to run the show himself. Listen, guys, sit back, relax, enjoy. I can't wait to play all the videos. I'm so psyched for this show. I'm waiting for the call-ins. But sit back. Let's get Jeff on and have some fun. Let's kick the show off. Jefe.
I'm old now.
You ready?
I'm going to die soon.
You are?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Have we started the countdown clock, or we're avoiding?
No, I don't want to start the countdown clock on that, but it's pretty inevitable. You know, well, once you hit 55, you can't use certain words anymore.
There's a lot of things, certain words, certain things I can't do anymore, but that's for a whole different show.
But,
Jeff, let me ask you this. First off, let's start the show properly. Jeff, how was your week?
It sucked.
Okay, but you are starting your vacation today, right? Today's the start of your vacation?
Yes, I should have been retiring. Today should have been my last day at work. I should have been retiring, but that fucking jerk-off dickhead fucking mayor fucked everybody up the ass.
See, now look, Patrick's got to start. Patrick, I am not happy with you. I do have a celebrity guest tonight, Jeff, who I will present you a video who has some advice for you on how to deal with a certain mayor of New York City.
Listen, he's gone within 6 months anyway. What's the difference?
But
he ain't going to do dick in the last 6 months. But I got to tell you, today, it's a big day for a lot of reasons.
Here we go.
It's a huge day for a lot of reasons.
Well, before you get to your stupidity part of the show, let me do a little sentimental journey. I was trying to think today. I obviously vividly remember the very first time we met. That we've talked about on the show at Brusco's house. It was our first shopping experience at the Brusco house. We just met. So, but I was trying to think of if I had to pick one memory of you and I, and what will always remind me of our childhood and friendship growing up, it's an easy one for me. And that is you and I on a bus heading out to buy records at our music center, or heading into the city. And while we did tons of stuff, I mean, I can think back to a million things we did growing up. That will always be the memory I have and the first thing that will come to my mind, because I remember spending many a day, especially summer times, jumping on the 103, just bullshitting about whatever was going on in the world, in our little crazy world. And that was the first thought I had today when I was putting together my last notes for the show. So happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, man. And that means a lot because it was a big thing that we did.
Yeah.
We would go to the record store. It seemed like, you know, once a week we go there, and meanwhile nothing new was coming out, but yet we go to the record store once a week.
Yeah.
Just to see what was there.
Yeah.
And I remember one specific Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
me and you went up to the city, and we just went to go buy, you know, like look at all the different record stores and everything uh-huh. else. And there was, we went to like all these different stores, and they all had stickers. And I remember this one specific sticker that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance tour from WPLJ.
Oh, wow.
It was a sticker. It was probably smaller than my phone at the time.
Right.
No, I'm serious. Uh-huh. You know, a little bit smaller than my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was maybe like this big, you know, it was, you know, like that. Only, you know, like yeah. this. And it just said Judas Priest, that it was yellow. And I remember I always wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that sticker. But they gave all these different, PLJ used to be the rock station
sure.
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing kids go to school and be like, fuck, this guy went to this concert, that guy went to this concert, because you would see the stickers on their books. And I was able to get that. And I had that on my bass case for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the remnants may still be on the case.
some old glue?
Yeah. I bet you I could tell you, I could probably show you exactly where it was
mm-hmm.
on that case. But it's just, you know, I remember that. I remember going up there and coming home with a bunch of records. And, you know, it was just cool. It's what we did.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly right.
You know, it's different than today. Like, you just posted on Facebook the other day that you went to Vintage Vinyl, and it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Closed.
It was gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It sucked.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the memories is one thing that we'll always have.
Yep.
And that's what makes it cool. Like, we'll always have them and always be able to think back at them. And I mean, I have, shit, man, a lot of fucking memories, without a doubt. Not just of me and you, but
where
we all used to hang out.
Absolutely. And you're going to hear from some, and you will be hearing from some of those guys tonight live on the air. So we'll get the chance to talk a little bit. This show is going to be a little weird, folks. It's going to be some sports. It's going to be a lot of Staten Island memories. It's going to be a lot of grown-up memories. We got some music, we got some sports, and we'll have some fun. I want to start the show off right. I got a couple of videos. I want to play one now. It's kind of a start the show off. Then I want to get my dad on. We got a lot of guests. We're going to run through some stuff tonight. We're not going to spend too much time with any one guest because I think we're going to have a few of them. So let me play the first video of the night, and then we'll continue down the road. Okay, Jeff?
All righty, man.
Hang on.
Wait, hold on.
Done. Nice. Nice.
No diaper.
No. Not yet.
They're playing Russian roulette.
Not yet, at least. All right, so here's the first video. I'll be right back.
For you, Jeff. Happy birthday.
And a big, big shout out to our friend Paul D'Agostino from Canamara, who is one of our best, who is one of our most devout fans of the show, friends of the show, I like to say. And the first guy who answered the call when I asked for stuff, Paul, thank you. Jeff, what do you think?
Oh, that was very cool. I actually, I'm going to do something. I want to write down the names of the people that I see on here to see where I can get back to them later to thank them. But extremely cool. Thank you. And Leonard, thank you for what you did earlier. And Patrick, sorry, we got lost in the shuffle there for a second. If you're still there, thank you. But very cool.
Yeah, and I have the ability to email you or send you any of these videos through Facebook, so you will have them all at the end of the show if you want them. They're also on our YouTube.
Send me whatever you got. That's if these people went through this and did this to me, man, that's very appreciated.
I would tell you, Leonard sent me two videos, went out of his way to get them on to make them easy for me to put up there. And I couldn't thank him enough. He answered the call when I made one little request, and he jumped on it, as well as a bunch of people. So, but let's get my dad on. Let's talk a little sports with Dad, and then we'll continue with the Jeff Birthday Show right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show here this Thursday night. Let's get my dad up, and let's see what he's got to say. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? Hey, Jeff, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. Florio. Thank you.
I feel like you're one of my own children. I'm getting old.
You're getting old. Yeah.
Nah, you've been good. You were good.
Dad, he was the short bus kid. He was the kid off the short bus.
Yeah, he Yeah. No, you guys were good. I never had any trouble from any of you guys coming over the house, whether it was on Highland Boulevard or on Cuba. You guys were good. I always trusted Tommy with you. Not that I should have, but...
I remember one that you used to play cards with us. Several times you played cards with us when we used to play in your dining room, and it was always a great time. And it was nice of you to spend some time with us and play with us. I remember that. So that was really cool. You and your wife, you was always nice to any of us that came in the house, whatever the combination was at any given time. And, you know, we all talk about that still when we're together, and we appreciated it. All the parents treated us nice, and it was just nice. Some parents didn't have to do what you guys did for us when we were younger. It was really cool. Thank you.
No, you guys were good. I never had to say to Tommy, you know, anything like that. Like you guys were just destroying something or sneaking something or.
We were nerds playing video games.
Compared to some people I know you. I won't mention no names, but you guys were nerds.
What's on your mind this week, Pop? You got any sports stuff on your mind? You done?
Hold on, Tommy.
That's my dad. He's got a phone call. Hey, Johnny Collins, wish you a happy birthday, John. Yeah, John. Yeah, Dad, what do you got?
No, I was watching the game. I can't watch them. It's very hard to watch the Yankees anymore.
They score a lot of runs, it's a boring. They're a boring team, station to station. Listen. Let me ask you this one question, Dad. You know, they get swept by Boston. They lose 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and should have won all 3 games. To be honest.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. If George Steinbrenner is still the owner, does the manager still have a job today? Because I got to tell you, listening to that guy is annoying. Yeah, I agree. You know what? I'm not the biggest fan of fired managers, but boy, somebody's got to pay.
Yeah, but you can't manage him. You got to go you got to go to Hal Steinbrenner, and you got to go to Cashman, because they're the ones that not only you took a shot, and you know you got half the team. 3/4 of the team batting 200 or under 200.
No, I get it. I get it.
And you know, the manager can't hit for you. I mean, you see the plays they run. They run stupid. They run the bases stupid. I mean, that's something you learn in Little League. I mean, you guys learned that when you were in Little League. Never run in front of a ball that's hit in front of you. That's what you got the third base and the first base coaches for. It's just pathetic. It really is. I can't watch him. And what are you going to do, man? I just wanted to call up to wish Jeff a happy birthday. And my other son,
yes,
a happy birthday.
That's right. Today's Richie's birthday.
And I wish you guys many, many more. And good luck with the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pop. We love you, and thank you for calling.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you very much, man. That was nice of you to say all
that's
that.
That's my daddy's checking in again. Happy birthday to my younger brother, Rich, celebrating 52 out in California. I talked to him a little while before the show. So he's out there playing playing a little music in a cover band. So he's doing well.
Even the youngest of us is fucking past 50 now, man.
Yeah, your brother is the youngest of that crowd that we grew up with, and he's 51, I believe. At this point,
yes, he is.
So,
Danny Brusco, who I don't know where we place Danny in all of this, but is now the youngest, official youngest out of all of us, and he past 50.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's
We're there, my brother. We have to enjoy each day. In fact, I'm going to get to see you tomorrow night. We're going to get to go out to have a little dinner together and celebrate your birthday.
Yes. First, one thing I just... John Collins, thank you for the birthday wishes, man. And Tom, my wife said something earlier in the week, but she never said anything to me.
Doesn't matter.
So I was like, oh, man, do I say something to him? Is this a...
No.
Surprise.
No, in fact, I told her, I said, ask Jeff to pick the have Jeff pick the place. I don't care where we go. It's on me and my wife, and you guys pick the restaurant. So it's all said and done. She said, he don't want to pick the restaurant. All right, so your wife picked it, and we're going to 5:30 tomorrow, so.
Yeah, yes, I know. She told me.
John,
I was more as excited as I am for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I was more excited with other things this week.
You are? But what's got you excited this week?
The announcement that I'll be making shortly.
Oh, my God. Folks, I want to say, get out ahead of this one. Please do not play into this. I actually had one of the kids on my job today turn around to me and go, hey, Tom, Rob said I'm supposed to call you something pinky. I said, if you call me Pinky.
That's the cue right there.
Yeah.
I said, if you
call me that name, you will be sitting outside in the rain working today.
Today is the official launch of the Pinky Mac and the Czar Show.
Oh, my God. This is not happening. Folks, this show will stop.
Mr. Pinky Macanudo himself at the helm and me, the Czar.
This show will cease to exist.
Sports entertainment, man.
Yeah, somebody was just holding it. They're gone. They ate the 732 number. So if you're out there, come on back. You guys, having the Jeff Birthday Show, we got plenty to get to. We got plenty to talk about. We'll just run down some memory lanes. I'm trying to think of the first time I met Johnny Collins. I remember waking up one morning and Johnny Collins was hovering over me. Thank God his clothes were on. Thank God his clothes were on. But I'll never forget waking up and my brother and John were in my room in my parents' basement at like an ungodly hour. They probably would never been home at that point. And I looked up and John's face was here. And just looking up like, why are you here hanging above me? That's going back 1986, I'm going to guess, 1987, something in that range. So, yeah, Johnny Collins, I still have haunting memories. Thank goodness. Maybe Johnny had better sense. I could have woken up with the other end of John hanging over my face. But
you know,
thank God it was the good version, John.
Real quick, I got to tell you, the first time that I remember seeing John Collins.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know about this kid. He looks like a fucking dill. I don't know.
Oh, you were spot
on.
Then
I talked to him for about 3 seconds. And from that moment on, I loved the guy. He's great.
Yeah.
He always had that smile on his face like he was about to do something. John, I don't even know if you would remember half the stories. Half the shit that I remember with you, we probably wouldn't be able to tell on the air. But it was fucking hysterical the whole way through. Going on over 30 years, I've known this guy, man, and he is – fucking aces, man. Holy shit.
One of the
best guys I ever met in my life. John, thank you for being a friend, bro.
I would agree with that. John's one of those guys that, you know, I think the best thing I can say about John is a stand-up guy. He's one of those guys that, you know, you can talk to and you're getting 100% the real person. By the way, John, I met your wife for the first time 2 weeks ago. I went to dinner with my wife at Juicy Lucy, and she was bartending. And I introduced myself. She had no idea who I was. She probably doesn't even remember my name, but she took care of me and my wife. We had a great meal sitting at the bar with her, and I did introduce myself. So, very nice lady, John. Why she's married to you? It's a figment of everybody's imagination. But what the hell?
Laughing her fucking balls off. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, exactly. So, but hopefully one of these days, John, Jeff, myself, and a couple other guys will get together, do a little jamming, and actually play a show sometime. I'm hoping that hasn't gone by the wayside. I've been kind of down.
No, it hasn't. I got a few things going on right now that I'm not going to say. I have a show coming up at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got to concentrate on that for the moment. But we'll definitely have something to do. Let's get past the summer and all of the and variants and all this other bullshit, and we'll get going. And we'll talk about it we'll talk about it tomorrow.
That's exactly.
I have a concern or two.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, first I want to go back, Leonard. We will make sure that we celebrate your 60th birthday in December with you. Hopefully, one of these days, you'll come on the show, sing a little live, and Hopefully you'll get out there and you'll start playing live, and Jeff and I will come see you play, because our Rosebank cousin we need to support. Thanks to everybody listening. Remember, next week, Darren Michael Boyd, guitar player, will be with Jeff and I. And the following week, Bobby Gustafson rejoins us for the first time in a while. Bobby getting ready to go out on the road with Violence, but Bobby's going to spend a few minutes talking with Jeff and I, and a big giant fan, so I get a little support. Again, do not pay attention to Sleazy Top when he starts calling me Pinky Mac. I would appreciate that to all my friends out there.
Listen, the whole thing about the Pinky Mac, people don't understand. Okay, it's not what it seems, even though it is what it seems, but it's not what it seems.
Yep, I got gotcha.
You. The best nickname for you possible. It started with Butt Cutlets, and it just didn't stick. But Pinky Mac, man, you got people referring to you as Pinky Mac. Dude, this is your calling. You need to make this the Hard Rock and Sports Show with Pinky Mac and Nizar.
No, it's not happening.
It has to. It has to.
How's that going to happen?
It has to. We have to. And Leonard, thank you. Thank you for everything. And if you have a party, yeah, we will bring the Hard Rock and Sports Show. You'll have to sing some Sinatra, some metal style. But, Tom, I got a couple catchphrases that I'm going to throw out as the show goes around.
Okay, good.
Oh, no, I don't have one to give you right now.
Oh, you don't? We're celebrating Jeff's birthday here. We're going to get to some, listen, the party will be there. By the way, John, tell your wife, me and my wife sat at the bar right across from her, and I told her that I knew you and told her my name. But, okay, again, a pretty, you can gloss right over me, so don't worry about it. But tell her I said thank you anyway. Anyway.
Actually, John.
Go ahead.
John, tell your wife that Pinky Mac said hello to her.
John, please do not play into this. Please, John. I'm begging you, John. Please, I beg you, do not. Please, do not. Carmine, I don't see you anywhere, Carmine. If you're out there, I do not see Carmine anywhere. Yeah, Carmine's trying to get in. I'm trying to get him, but I don't see him anywhere. So Carmine, hang up, call again. If you want a video in, whatever you want to do, pal, I'll get you on. Hold on, let me try something with Carmine.
A case of fucking poison ivy this week too.
You got a case of poison ivy?
Yeah. So you're trying to make a little extra money for the household.
Yeah. Oh.
Work overtime on a Saturday and you get fucking poison ivy. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's see. So we got 7:25. We got somebody coming up in 7:45 going to call in.
Okay.
So I'm thinking now. Well, let's give Carmine a minute. Let's see if he calls in. How about I play my first celebrity video right now? What do you think?
Yeah,
you ready for celebrity?
I want to see this, man. Okay. See what you got.
Guys, hang in there. We got our first celebrity happy birthday for Jeff. I'm excited. I got at least two celebrity videos. So let me play the very first one, Jeff. Without further ado, you will absolutely positively know these people. If you don't, we're hanging up the show right now. So hang on. First celebrity, happy birthday for Jeff. Ding, ding.
This is WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana giving a really nice shout out to Jeff Talwinski. You and Thomas have been friends for 40 years, and you were wrestling fan in the 80s when I, Tito Santana, was in his pinnacle. I had a great career, and it was because of fans like you. Jeff, I want to thank you for being a Tito Santana fan and for bringing me up and the WWF in your podcast. I understand that your childhood was full of watching professional wrestling, and Thomas was right there alongside with you. I want to thank you again for being a Tito Santana fan. And like I always say, if it wasn't for you guys, none of us would be anybody. So thank you. Again, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Arriba!
So, Jeff, there was your very first birthday shout-out. Jeff, what do you think?
That was very cool. Thank you, man. And I know what you did to do that. You didn't have to do that.
Dude, it's just the first. I had three others. Two bailed on me, but I got one more celebrity. speaking of celebrities, we got one on the phone right now on our video. I got to put him on. My better judgment says not to put him on, but I have to put him on. He's the biggest ball breaker in the world. He also celebrated a birthday this week, so I want to wish my dear friend Carline Glorioso, the doctor, a happy birthday. And I do want to say, finally, that the thoughts and comments of the doctor do not reflect those of us here at the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. And any inconveniences or sensitivities hurt because of his comments are not the responsibility of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Having said that, let me get the doctor himself on and have some fun with him. Dr. Thumb Chaser, how are you?
Oh, boy, Tommy, what a crock of shit that was. You fucking said to me, make sure you pound my fucking people. Let them know they're all a bunch of jerk-offs. And yeah, they are. Jeff, happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Well, yeah, fucking Tito Santana there? Jesus Christ.
Hey, I got another one coming up. I'm pumped for. So we're having some fun on the Jeff birthday show. But Carmine, you wanted to call in. I'm always thrilled to have you. What?
It's a sin. It's a sin. Really? Did you really? I know you didn't want me. You fucking pom pom waving Yankee fucking yuck.
No, listen. I could take it as good as anybody.
No, so you can.
I absolutely can take it. So some of your other friends, I love the videos. I have to tell you, you are on a roll with videos.
Oh, my God.
You are on a roll.
There, I cry. I cry at my table. My wife asks me if I'm okay. Listen, watch this.
I can tell you this. Jeff, had the Mets swept them, I had a fucking classic one. One that you haven't seen. I'll just say I will do it, and I expect to get really fucking destroyed on it, but I don't give a fuck.
Well,
so let me tell me, yeah. for you, the people who don't really know what type of thing came out of my mouth, I did a post that didn't have a video, but I basically said in that, I don't even know if I did have the, no, I didn't. After the Yankees finally won a game, it was like I wrote this post and I thought about it. Verbally, I'm like, what can I say about this going into that series? So I actually thought I would have jerked off a mule to get one win. So I said to myself on Friday night, I don't have to jerk the mule off. I got it. And after that fucking win Saturday, that was like exactly. So what actually happened was, I was invited over to dinner to this Yankee fan fucking friend of mine. I'll just say that.
Okay.
No one in particular. Mm-hmm. Pick any fucking Yankee fan you want, Jeff. And I says, okay, Friday night after the win, Yankee fan, know that they're going to take your wife up and smash a box. And I took her up the steps. I didn't pick the particular person's bedroom. I took another room and I fucking smashed the box. And then I came down the steps with the dismay look of this Yankee fan going, what did this fuck? Did this guy just bang my wife? And I go, yeah. And then the next day, it's fucking 5-4 in the seventh inning. You got fucking Captain Blowjob on the mound. Does this guy ever not give up a fucking home run in a big spot? Here's Chapman, and a guy who sucks donkey dick all year takes him fucking deep, and we slap this. Five more on top of that. Pound, pound, pound. Me, I'm like saying to myself, how much more could I do? So what actually happened was Alonzo dropped the deuce on home fucking plate. They picked up this shit and ran to the fucking Monument Park and threw it all over those blowjob statues. And then I said to myself, Jeff, what kind of fucking ass? And then I dragged my ass from fucking center field back to home plate like the dog that dragged its ass on a carpet, and I fucking wiped my ass on the Yankee field. So then I said, come on, enough is enough. You fucking banged his wife. You shit on the field. You threw it all over the monuments. Don't be an animal. Let them win the fucking last game. And we like gentlemen, we let you win.
Oh, my God.
Now, had I swept that fucking series,
yeah,
it would be all fucking week of posturing. You would have thought it's like someone fucking dies and you think, oh, Jesus Christ, what a fucking tough life. I'm glad it's over. And you're getting fucking banged in the ass by the guy that's about to put you in the box. He's going to put you in a tie, a shirt, and a fucking jacket. But no one knows he just got his ass fucking pounded before he went for the big sleep.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you, Tommy.
Are you done reliving your weekend yet? Let me know if you're done reliving your weekend, jerk off.
Listen.
Yeah?
Oh, we're on the verge of losing him.
And he said, yes. Oh, my. No, I'm right here.
Okay, we got you. Go ahead.
I'm right here. Don't lose me.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Petey D'Agostino, that fucking 3.5-foot midget prick, called me the next day and says, thank God I was going to fucking go into you about, here we are, we scored 7 runs in the first, and you got right in the fucking giggy with Captain fucking Midnight with the dumb chaser. My God. How fucking wonderful was that, Jeff?
Oh, God, dude. These videos are fucking classic. Everyone, one with the hat. I just see the hat, and I cry. They're fucking beautiful.
Listen, I love it because that's what baseball's all about. This is like being kids again. This is about, like, now again, nobody was chasing me around with the Moira, the dumb chaser, but there was a lot of...
You had it in your fucking brown. Who are you kidding, you fucking liar? You and Mo had him in that fucking crusty the crown looking fucking DuPont factory reject.
I have to tell you, your friends are pretty good about all this stuff. I love to watch. I like to just read back and forth with you guys, right? All I say is this. You better hope DeGrom don't get hurt. I'm just telling you now. Because they will rain down hell all over you if DeGrom.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, again. So do you miss a question real quick? I'm glad DeGrom's not pitching in the All-Star game. I think it's a waste of time. But I would have loved to see him. See, baseball to me, Carmine, is about the individual matchup. Look, there he goes.
Do you see the fucking shirt?
Yeah, we see your shirt. Go ahead.
No, the God.
Yeah.
He's fucking Jesus Christ.
Let me ask you a question. Let me find the day he pitches more than 6 innings and call me up, because the guy can't go more than 6 innings.
So at 7 innings in the game,
what do you want him to be? Well, he's like two pumps. He's like two pumps and blow. And that's what that he is. Bang, it's over. Two pumps.
Two pumps and blow. How's about this?
Yeah, go ahead.
He's got 179 pitches
with
100 miles per hour.
He pitches one inning a week.
The next closest blowjob is what?
18.
Fucking 24?
Yeah. Yeah, 24. Gary
Cole.
Dude.
And it ain't your blowjob. Who he can't. If he don't have fucking either load in his hand, that fucking blowjob that you got. You pay, what, $324 million for a guy that he needs fucking to cheat?
Oh, listen
to this.
You
fucking snake.
Let your pitcher pitch more than 3 innings in a week, and then you can talk to me. 3 innings.
Listen, young man.
I can be great for 3 innings.
He's got a 1 ERA. He
goes through the lineup one time.
You spite attack. And before he's answering the fucking question, like a big blow.
I can't pitch. He can't pitch 6 innings.
One look in his mouth. Oh. He had 3 days. He goes, excuse me, what is his name, Jeff, this fucking blowjob on the Yanks?
Gary Cole?
I'm fucking
Gary Cole.
Gary Cole.
Yeah.
Oh, Gary, let me ask you a question. Have you ever used Spine Attack? Miss Biggie, you want to answer that? I don't know how to answer that question. Had he been in front of me, I would have slapped the fucking piss out of him. And said, what are you fucking kidding me? Man up, you fucking twat. Admit, yeah, I use it. So fucking what?
Everybody
so do
does.
Most of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do most of them.
But you can't complain. The guy pitches seven. The guy gets at least to the seventh inning most games. Your guy, I got to take a break. I need to rest. I got to rest. I threw a lot of pitches. I threw 30 pitches.
Yes. Yes, they had a 4-1 lead. lead.
What a sissy.
You give DeGrom a 4-1 lead, game over.
Yeah.
You want blowjob? Give some runs to my blowjob team.
Wait.
That's fucking good.
Leonard's right. He could pitch at East Shore Little League. They only play 16 in games. Your guy would be a full-time. He could play games. Yay.
Best pitcher in the game.
You're
whining.
No,
fucking
you know what? No
Not
doubt.
Even close.
Not no doubt. He's one to everybody else. Agreed. Six inning pitcher.
What was the last complete game you played?
I don't listen. I'm not running around saying my guy is the greatest pitcher. My team is the greatest pitcher in the world.
He is, Jeff. Right now, who's the best pitcher in the fucking game?
Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom is the best pitcher.
But wait.
But it's like being the tallest midget in the circus. Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. But if he was a Yankee, he'd suck his cock.
Yeah.
He was fucking you
and
Linda Lovelace.
But if he was a Yankee, he'd have 200 wins by now.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on.
You want to talk about that with this fucking blowjob lineup? Oh, we got one hit today. Blowjobs. Sweet bliss Seattle.
Thank God Louis Pica's hat. Louis, tell him. Louis said he's offended.
Louis, fuck your mouth, you rat, and your rat fucking scumbag Giants, fuck them too.
Louis, you shouldn't be on the show with me, Louis. You should be on the show with me, Louis. That's all I can tell you. Again, we're here celebrating Jeff's birthday with this conversation. But yes, it's the Jeff birthday show here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show.
Thank you, Rose.
Thanks everybody hopping in there.
I have a request of Carmine.
Go ahead.
Absolutely, any fucking thing, my friend.
And it's my birthday, so you have to do it.
Oh, don't do it, Carmine. Don't do it.
I want you to hit somebody with the hammer once. One guy for me. One guy. I want you to hit Saquon Barkley with the biggest hammer yet to date.
How's that fucking thing? You better cross your fingers. You better get garlic. You better do something because that motherfucker is done. He's going to, from the first sweep around the corner, he's going to get a 7-yard burst. He's going to grab his hamstring like he got stabbed with a fucking bayonet.
It's over now.
Oh, boy.
Tommy.
I'm not buying it, Teddy. I know. Gave me the Malloy here. I got it. Well, listen, Carmine, I love you anyway. I love the videos. My only mistake this week is I thought about it late. I should have gotten in touch with you and asked you for a Jeff Happy Birthday video, but this is even better.
Yes, it is. Thank you for spending some time, Carmine. They're fucking great. The videos are fucking great. I'm telling you, my wife just looks at me and shakes her head because I'm crying.
Mrs. Dolowinski, I'm totally sorry. I'm totally sorry.
That's okay.
Fuck your mouth, Tommy.
She knows where I am, so it's okay.
Carmine.
By the way, is that midget fucking putting words in, that little fucking squirt? Or he probably has, he can't reach the fucking keyboard. He's got to get his son to fucking type it in. Go ahead, fucking Pete, you midget prick.
I haven't seen any comments from Pete yet, but I'll let you know if I do. Carmine, I love you to death. You're an integral part of this show, and I do apologize to everybody out there who might have been offended by the doctor himself.
Hold on. Yeah. If you are offended, for all guys, I don't know if you want to call his sponsors. Fuck your mouth, you fucking rat. Stick it up your fucking ass. I'm offended. Offend your sister's box.
There you go.
Yeah. Now give you a disclaimer.
No more disclaimers. That's the good doctor. He's Carmine Glorioso. He's our dear friend. And it's great to have him on the Jeff Birthday Show. Carmine, thank you. I love
Send
you.
Send him on a Jeff. Happy birthday, brother. Be well, Tommy. Send him on. I'll talk to you soon, boys.
You got thank it. You Thanks, Carmine.
See you later, bro.
That's the good doctor. You got
Oh, my God. Dude, you can't help but laugh. I can't say nothing. I'd rather just listen to you two argue it out because he's hysterical. The shit that he says is hysterical.
I just like to rile him up. Carmine, for all of his thing, is really a true baseball fan in the sense that he'll knock his own team. He doesn't knock the Yankees. Have you ever listened to Carmine? It's Yankee fans that Carmine's got a beef with, not the Yankees themselves.
Yeah, I know.
That's the fun part of it. But that's what baseball and growing up playing baseball, watching baseball is all about. So, Jeff, I'm going to play your next video. And then I got to bring on a guest right after. Okay. So are you ready for your next video? Get your pen out so you can write down who's sending your videos, Jeff.
Yes, I have a list right here.
So you have to write one to Paul D'Agostino, to Leonard, Tito Paul Santana.
Carmine.
Tito. Yep. And now this next person for your video, Jeff. Hang on one second. This is a guy who goes way, way back with us.
Hey, fellas, what's up? Sorry I couldn't come on live tonight. Just wanted to send in a video wishing my good buddy Jeff a happy double nickels, you old bastard. I found a version of your favorite song of all time on YouTube. Kick-ass version. I wanted to play a little snippet. Here it is.
Well, Jeff.
Where did he go? He just like that. He
that was it. That was his video. But he did lie to you, Jeff. I have to tell you, he did lie to you. He said he wasn't going to call in, and he didn't. But he is videoed in, and that's our good friend Paul Gill. Paul, a double shot from Paul Gill this week. What's up, brother?
How you guys doing?
All right, dude. How are you?
Doing, having some fun, man.
I'm good. Happy birthday, Jeff. I love you, man.
Thank you, man. It means a lot for you guys to do this and call in, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Paulie, how's it going, man? How's things up in Plattsburgh? You still upstate?
No. I'm at home. I'm going up next weekend. I actually made a failed trip from Manhattan to Staten Island in the fucking monsoon today. I decided to call it quits at about 23rd Street and came home. I was going to pick up some shit, but I'm at home, and I'm glad I'm around for Jeff's double nickel birthday.
Hey, before we get to talk a little baseball with you, we've been doing a little bit of strolls down memory lane. So one of the things that we were talking about earlier, I came up with some, my first remembrance of Jeff is doing what we used to call shopping at the Brusco House. So that's the first time I met Jeff. Paul know what that means. Okay. I also said, one of the things I'll always remember about Jeff is getting on the 103 or going into the city and buying albums and trying to come up with the next big band that, out of the dollar case or whatever. But again, I'll always remember, playing cards as a group, playing sports. There's so many memories. Give me something that, a Jeff and Paul memory from back in the day that would be the first thing you would think of when you're thinking of your buddy Jeff.
You know what? Definitely not the oldest stuff. I remember me, him, and Nikki getting on the bus to go to school.
Wow.
I was a freshman. He was a sophomore. I remember my freshman year, the day before Christmas vacation. I can't remember who it was that stole a bottle of scotch. Was it Nikki or was it Mick?
It wasn't me. It had to be maybe Nikki. It wasn't me. That I know.
One of us had a bottle of scotch, right? So here we are at 7 o'clock in the morning, getting on the 103 to go out to New York. And we get there. We get off the bus. We're like, let's go behind the shopping center and drink the bottle before we go to school. And here I am, 120 pounds, 5'4", whatever. And I remember I took the first slug off this bottle, Jeff and Nikki standing there. And I think I guzzled half the freaking bottle. It's like a bottle of Johnny Walker. So then we finish the bottle. We start walking around. We go into Masters. Obviously, you got to be an old Staten Islander to remember Masters.
Good pizza.
And I collapse in the freaking, right in the front of Masters. Ambulance. Whole thing, stomach pump, and that's one of my favorite memories.
First thing I find very difficult to believe about that story, I know for a fact that when we all drank back in those days, nobody had anything good like Johnny Walker. So the fact that you guys somehow came up with a bottle of Johnny Walker is shocking, because between 12 of us, we didn't have 38 cents.
Exactly. Fortunately, I perfected that.
Jeff Wall and I at the Big Jeff Birthday Show. Thanks for everybody checking in. Remember, next week, Darren Michael Boyd. The following week, Bobby Gustafson checks in. Lots of stuff coming up. Remember, I'm off on the 29th, so no show. Jeff will be taking a break, I guess, himself, and we'll be back August 5th with the big football preview show, our spring, training camp show we do every year, August 5th. So Paul, we were just kind of going back and forth. We played some videos and have some fun and just – kind of thinking about the fact that Jeff's turning 55. It kind of threw me this week, man. I was like, wow, I got, one of us has made it. The fact that he made it to 55 is something special.
Like the crash test dummy, man. Like, you're throwing me out in front of traffic now.
Well, Jeff,
I'll tell you what. As long as we don't become adults, we're good.
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about that. I don't think that's even humanly possible that any of us are turning into adults at this point. But we are getting there. One of these days, one of us is going to get the card, you know, the senior citizen discount card. Unfortunately, Jeff.
Dude, I already get that now. I get the fucking AA.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting that. I've been getting that for 2 years.
I swear to God. Free luggage if I signed up.
Yeah.
I was going to sign up for it, but the luggage looked like shit, and I was like, nah, fucking forget it.
Well, listen, as long as we got a bunch of years ahead of us and we can have some more laughs and a few more card games, I'm okay. I'm okay with it. That's all.
Definitely.
Getting old is better than the alternative. That's all I can tell you. Getting old is better than the alternative. But, Paulie,
I don't know about that.
Wait, what do you mean?
Earlier this year, in January, my right knee started to bother me.
Yeah.
Okay, I found out I had a little arthritis in my knee. So then I'm at work, and I'm going to walk to tell somebody something. I walk across the yard, and thank you from Black Sasquatch for the happy birthday, man. Thank you, bro. And I end up wiping out in the yard and falling. It must have looked like I fell down a flight of stairs the way I went down. So now as my right knee is pretty much healed up, now my left knee is acting up. And I go to stand up, and it hurts, and I got to stand there for a second. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, like 6 months ago, none of this happened. Now all of a sudden, within 6 months, it's like I'm waiting to shit the bed, not being able to chew hard food. You know, forget my wife's name, stuff like that. All kinds of shit. You know? I don't know. I got to get her a necklace. I'm going to see how much money I can scrape up and get her name.
We were
nameplate, so I remember her name.
Yeah, all the boys, we talked, we were going to get together and chip in and get you one of those, the life alerts. We didn't have enough time to get it, though, Jeff. And much like the old days.
Monthly subscription?
Yeah, much like the old days, we couldn't scrape together $2, so it was a no-go.
You know what? It would have been even better yet is if you got me the life alert without the subscription. So that if I fell down, I'd go over there and press the
button. That's great.
With no money coming.
Guys, I'm having some fun. This is some fun. Well, let's talk a little bit of baseball while I got you. Oh, my God. Yes, Leonard, our body is telling us for 60. You ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Our good friend Leonard Torricelli hanging in there. Thanks for Leonard. Leonard's got to have a big shout-out tomorrow night on the Dina Martin Show. They're going to be talking about his dad, a Rosebank legend, the Torricelli family. So make sure Ray changes it to the Dina Martin Show, and here's a little bit about Leonard's dad. And, again, make sure you check out Leonard on Facebook. He's a great guy. And I got another song coming from Leonard in a little bit. Paul, talk to me about your Mets a little bit. I mean, now Carmine and I were going back and forth, and I was kind of just riling them up. But you know, I would say even though they're not playing great baseball, I think this Mets team is gearing up for a better run, a little more hitting. But the surprising thing is, great defense from this team.
Yeah.
Better than average pitching. Walker's been a big surprise. I think Stroman's been a big surprise. As a Mets fan, let's put it this way. As a Yankee fan, I was picking the Braves. I'm a little surprised that the rest of the division's so bad, but the Mets are playing good baseball. Well, give me your thoughts on the Mets right now.
Well, you know, like coming into the season, the expectations were pretty high.
Yeah.
Bringing in McCann, the funny thing is, like, bringing in McCann to me was huge. And the truth is, like, at bat, he certainly hasn't been great. But when it comes to, like, solidifying a defense,
mm-hmm.
it's been outstanding to have a professional catcher.
Absolutely.
And then, here you go, McCann plays well behind the plate, and all of a sudden, Nito's playing well as well. Mm-hmm. So it was like, that was really good. I think the most important position on the field is your catcher.
Absolutely. So, and you take a little less offense there if you're getting great defense,
exactly.
Which is why I'd rather the Yankees not play Sanchez and play Higashioka. I'd rather the catcher who can play defense.
Right, exactly. But, you know, like, the thing is, watching this Mets team, I got to tell you, I've watched, I think, every game. They are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if it's a four-hit game, mm-hmm. it's still fun to watch. It's like as a Mets fan for a million years, through a million bad years, I can tell you every single game, I don't care what the score is, we're in it until it's over.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to say that for years. You know, with all the injuries on this team, half the friggin' infield, half the outfield, pitchers that haven't pitched yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, for us to be in first place is boggling, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm curious to see what they're going to do by the end of the month. I think they're going to make another move.
They have
to. I don't know what it is.
You know, Paul, it has to be for a bat. The problem is, where do you play that bat? You know, I guess that's the one spot. But, you know, again, you know, to me, that's the one thing this team needs. It's just, I mean, they have the hitting. I mean, if Alonso started hitting, if Conforto started hitting, if Lindor started hitting, you have the nucleus of a good hitting team. The problem is they're not. I think they're obviously being helped because their division is so bad. But the one good thing about this team that hasn't been for years, bullpen and defense have been great. Better team speed. Again, I'm not a big Conforto fan. I think Conforto's a good player. If I'm the Mets, you know, are you going full out and you're going to pay him? I don't know if that's, you know, that's in the cards, but that could be an also a part is a trade of Conforto for a bigger player.
Interesting.
You know,
I'll tell you what, the fact that they didn't re-sign Conforto before the beginning of the year, I think said a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the thing is, I think that in free agency, in this coming offseason, I think that there are other guys, and this is sacrilege to a Met fan, but I think there are other guys that can replace Conforto for around the same amount of money that might actually be better.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and you know, it wasn't his fault that he got hurt.
No, definitely not.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know what? The biggest surprise to me about this team is something that the Mets have been historically awful at, that they were great at, which was putting together a good professional bench.
Okay.
These guys coming off the bench, I mean,
yes.
Peraza and Villar, I mean, these are guys that are in their prime years. They're not great players. They're not bad players. They're solid players. They know how to hit. They know situations.
Mm-hmm.
They know what to do. And these are the guys. Those are the guys that have kept us in first place for half a season.
Yep. Listen, with all the guys you've had hurt and the guys who haven't been playing well, you're absolutely right. The role players have done a great job. And I'll tell you another one that you're going to think I'm nuts and you're going to say a typical Yankee fan thing maybe, but don't discount the fact Dom Smith playing left field has hurt them a little bit defensively, and I think he's a really good first baseman, and he's been one of their more consistent sticks. You know, Alonso, is he the player everybody thinks he's going to be? Is that a guy who could be traded for a couple of players and open up that spot? I got to be honest with you. I am not overly impressed, and again, he may turn his season around and start. I know he's been hitting better the last week or two, but I got to tell you, I've given some serious thought because I think Dom Smith would be a better first baseman, and I think his stick is as good, may not hit as many home runs, I'm not sure, and I think it's a big piece of the puzzle, but again, that's a little bit of fantasy because I'll never trade him. I know he's fan favorite.
You know what the ideal answer to that is?
Done.
National League DH.
If next year he'd be next year, it's a different ball game. If you want to stash him for next year, I get it, because I think not that he's a liability at first, but I just don't think he's as good as Smith. Dom's is much, but yeah, this is a good team. Patrick's right. This is not a bad team. Nimmo coming back. Nick McNeil starting to hit. You know, again, one more consistent bat and Lindor waking up a little bit. That would be huge for this team.
And, I hate that the DH is coming to the National League, man. I don't like it.
Nah, I think it's time.
Nah.
I felt the same way for years, Jeff, but I got to tell you, it's about time. It's good for the game. Look, I mean, we got to get past. Unfortunately, we got to get past what me and Tommy, I think, agree and believe, which is there's nothing more beautiful than a 3.5-hour 2-1 game.
Absolutely.
But the God's honest truth, the way of the world is they want to see action. They want to see hits. They want to see runs.
But you're seeing stuff in the National League that you're not going to see in the American League because they have no choice but to play it that way. Everything that you're always talking about, the hit and run, the bunts and everything else, it has to happen in the National League because you have that hole in the nine spot with a pitcher for the most part. Not all the time, but for the most part. And you have to consider that. No matter what game and wherever you are in the game, you have to consider it. And I just, you know, I'm not a baseball guy. I don't watch baseball. I don't watch it at all. But I just hate to see the game change that much, because that was the purity of the game in the National League the way it is. And I just don't like the idea of it changing that much.
I think it's time.
Yeah, I think it's a natural progression. And I think what's happening is, you know, it's becoming such a big hole in the lineup. And it goes back to, Paul, what you just said. People want to see runs. And when you get to that nine spot, yeah, you get to the Groms of the world who is a good hitter. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not discounting it, but even he, I mean, you know, how many hits is he actually getting? And it's hurt. I think it hurts the game. As you can see with Ohtani pitching and then coming out of a game as also a player. But I think it's natural. It's going to happen next year. I'm shocked it didn't happen this year. But
yeah.
A couple things on the baseball side, Paul. You know, I put up a post. I was very vocal on the air last week about Judge not playing in that game against the Angels. You know, baseball guys, I'll start with you, Paul. Baseball is such a driven game by matchups. You know, growing up, you wanted to see Reggie Jackson face Nolan Ryan. You wanted, you know, Don Mattingly to face, Roger Clemens. You know, you wanted those big matchups. And I was extremely disappointed that Judge did not play in that game and face Ohtani. Just, it's a baseball moment. That's what baseball is all about. I know you were equally upset by it. Why? What bothered you most about that?
I mean, you go to play a game, you want to play your best lineup. And there is no Yankee lineup that is the best lineup without Judge in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and a huge game, TV coverage. I mean, more people are going to watch that game than other games.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not play him? What was the excuse? Did they give an excuse?
The next day, Boone said that he thought it was time for a day off. Another maintenance day. No other reason. That he could have given the maintenance day on Tuesday or Thursday, but he chose to give it on Wednesday when Ohtani was pitching. Made no sense to me. And the bigger problem I had with it is if I'm Judge, you're walking in there and you're flipping tables, I'm playing in this game. You know, that's the part that bothered me more than anything else, guys, is that the player, what I've ever seen, Don Mattingly, Gary Carter, you know, George Brett, do I ever see one of those guys say, oh, so-and-so's pitching, I'm taking today off? I mean, maintenance days in sports are horrendous.
Well, I mean, they're all college. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as great as Judge is, I think he's a pure spirit player. I think he's got a heart of gold. I really do. But, you know, these guys have been kind of, in a way, they've been beaten down to be disciplined, like to stay in line.
Yeah.
And it's frowned upon to be the guy who challenges the system.
Yeah.
And Judge is a good guy, so he's going to go with the system. But, you know, I mean, I don't see how they don't play their best lineup. I mean, you wait until you play a shitty team.
Yeah. And the Angels are a shitty team. Don't get me wrong. Sit them on Tuesday, sit them on Thursday. But you got this is what baseball's all about. You want a marquee matchup. You know, the highlights should be Aaron Judge versus Ohtani. First inning, Judge is coming up, a man on base. You know, that's the spot you want to see if you're a baseball fan. I was pumped up all day for it. There it is, not there. You know, Jeff, the problem becomes, Jeff, now I look at Judge and he says, oh, yeah, of course I'm going to play in the All-Star game. So don't take the All-Star game off when you can have a break. Let's fly across the country, Jeff, and play a meaningless game, but take off the game that means something. That makes no sense,
listen,
Jeff.
Dude, I hear you. You got to try to explain it to me. I think it's bullshit that these guys take the days off as it is. I remember years ago, these guys playing, they would say that they played 30-something games straight, 40 games straight. They're in the midst of 23 games in 24 days,
yeah.
And the only day off is a travel day. And yet they were all playing anyway. You've never seen any of the old-time Yankees playing. And when you did, you'd be like, oh, Oscar Gamble, okay, well, he's all right. He's playing today. Or they would have Gary Johnston, I think his name was. And they would throw him out there like, who the fuck wants to see this guy play?
Yeah.
Means that Reggie's not playing or this guy's not. Lou Piniella's not playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be the same way. Why would you want Judge to not play anyway? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Now, Paul, I'm glad that DeGrom's not pitching in the All-Star game. I think it's a waste for a guy like that. I want to see that guy healthy and playing all year. But I am a little disappointed. I don't know how you feel. I've been down on the All-Star game for a long time. It's meaningless since free agency got so big. It's meaningless since interleague play. You know, the allure growing up was seeing guys on the same field that you never would see. Now that's all gone. So the All-Star game means less. Are you somewhat disappointed that you're not going to see DeGrom face some of these, you know, DeGrom Ohtani for three innings batting against DeGrom? I think I'm a little disappointed that DeGrom's not playing, but I do understand it.
I mean, I'm glad he's not playing in the game because, for God's honest truth, I think at this point we got to coddle DeGrom.
Yeah, agreed.
We have to keep him at 80 pitches. If he feels a tweak, he comes out.
Yeah.
It's like Strasburg years ago, where they were like playing with him like he was like a delicate flower. You know, like I think it was a mature decision on his part because, you know, these guys all have egos.
Yeah, sure.
And, of course, I mean, DeGrom would have started the All-Star game.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You know.
Yeah.
And he put his ego aside,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, I mean, you know, and that translates into, mm-hmm. you know, endorsement deals and all kinds of shit. And he did the right thing. So
absolutely.
I kind of dig him for that.
Absolutely.
You know, the All-Star game, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I loved it.
Oh,
I watched
agree.
It on. Now, mm-hmm. I watched the Home Run Derby, and I skipped the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I haven't watched the game in years. And even the Home Run Derby has gotten a little fuzzy for me. It's, you know, the format's changed. But, Jeff, I'll ask you both this. But, Jeff, you go first. I think the Home Run Derby has actually hurt baseball. In fact, it's made home runs so important. You know, everybody wants to watch his 500, 600-foot home runs that the game has now changed during the year where guys are just trying to hit 600-foot launch angle home runs, Jeff. I think the Home Run Derby has actually hurt baseball more than it's helped.
On some levels, it might have. But, I mean, you know, listen, a lot of people need to understand when you're playing in a game and the pitcher's throwing the ball at close to 100 miles an hour, it's a little bit different than them lobbing it into fucking so you could purposely crush it over the fence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are these guys even hitting 60, 70 miles an hour in some of these pitches in the Home Run Derby?
You
know what I mean?
No, I do, but I just think that's the emphasis, Paul, now has become on hitting the home run, and a lot of it is because of that. You have a thought on my thought?
You know, I think the home run derby is, I think it appeals to the little kids. I think it's the kids that grew up on the video game generation that weren't outside throwing a ball like the three of us were.
Yes.
You know, and they're trying to do anything they can, bells, whistles, fireworks, whatever, to get them to look at them instead of looking at Xbox for a couple of hours. So, you know, I mean, I get it for that. And you know what? The God's honest truth is that that's probably the future of the game.
No.
If those kids don't get into it, the game starts to die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, eventually we're going to be gone. And it's those kids that got to watch baseball in order for baseball to be what it is. So, I mean, I don't love it. I mean, I like watching it just because Pete Alonso's in it and
yeah.
I want him to win it again.
Sure.
But, you know, other than that, it's it's comical. And to tell you the truth, I think a lot of times it messes up a guy's
shoulder. Oh, absolutely.
You know, so.
How many guys you see come out of that and get hurt in the second half of the year, go into slumps in the second half of the year? So, yeah, I agree. If I was an owner or GM of a team, you know, if I'm the Angels, I don't want Ohtani batting in the Home Run Derby. You know, I say that with Alonso. I think it screws up people's swings. I think
Judge got hurt in the Home Run Derby a couple years ago.
Yeah, he didn't tell anybody he had a hurt shoulder and it took 2 months. He still hit 51 homers, but he for 2 months after the All-Star game, he couldn't swing the bat.
Yeah,
so I'm not a big fan of it. Again, I think there's a little bit of a lure this week. If you're a guy who likes home runs hitting in Colorado, you're going to see some 600-foot home runs. So that should be interesting. I'll watch the Home Run Derby a little bit, but the game, if the ground was pitching, and I have to tell you, as a Yankee fan, I watch a little bit of Met games to try to keep up with it. When he's pitching, I try to watch it. It's one of those guys, he's generational. I would like to see him pitching a little bit more, but I get your point. He's coddled, but
yeah.
He's must watch baseball. If you're a baseball fan, you want to watch him pitch.
How many years ago they were saying the Mets had the best staff in baseball, and then
one
by one they started to fall. Wouldn't you coddle him if he was on your team?
Yeah,
he may be the only thing you got.
You know, he's that guy. If he stays healthy and he's who he is, You get into a seven-game series, he's pitching three times. And you're going to be tough to beat.
He must pitch three times for them to have a chance.
Well, again, this Mets pitching staff is a little better with Walker's been great. And Stroman's been really good. So they got three guys that I can view. And the best thing about this team is the bullpen's not atrocious. That's probably the best way to say it. It's not one of those things where you go, I mean, I just don't know why Familia pitches, even though I know he's been out for a while. Short of that, Diaz has been better. You know, there's some definitely kids on that team who could pitch. So, I think it's going to be a great second half of baseball. Not a lot of intrigue around the league. A lot of the teams are running away with this. But watching the Mets, and again, DeGrom is much CTV. Paulie Dogs, Paul, I thank you for calling in. You know, I know things are busy for you guys, but appreciate you stopping by. And, you know, you're always welcome. We love talking to you.
Always. And Jeff, happy birthday again.
Thank you, man. Thank you for calling in. Spend a little time, bro. That's I appreciate it. Believe me.
All right. Take care.
Tell everybody we said hello. Say hello to Jules for us, all right?
Yeah.
You got it, man.
All right, Paulie. See you later. Man. Paul Gill, everybody. That's our good buddy. Hard Rockin' Sports. Hanging with Jeff. I'm almost ready to play you your second celebrity video. You want your second celebrity? You ready for it?
Sure. Let's see who you got.
Okay. Again, guys, here at Hard Rockin' Sports, Tom and Jeff on a Thursday night. Not doing a lot of sports. I do a little reminiscing. We should have a couple more phone-in guests. I got a couple more videos to play. I got a few sports topics coming up, but we're celebrating my dear friend's 55th birthday, and we'll continue to do that right here along the way. Glad you guys stopped by. I have not seen Jeff's mom call in yet, so I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to see Mrs. T.
She's been texting me. She's on. She's here. She's watching the show. Or was watching the show.
Okay, so at least she's watching. You know, maybe she. But let's play the second celebrity video. I'm excited for this one, Jeff. You have to listen to this one because this guest offers you some friendly advice.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's see if you recognize who this is, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, Jake the Snake Roberts here, man. Happy damn birthday, man. You're the birthday boy. That's little B, baby O, and chicken shit. Why, I do not know, but it is that way. You know, you have a very good friend, and Tommy, says you guys have been friends for 40 years. When you were up for early retirement, but was denied this week by an idiot New York mayor, so you're a little bit down. Yeah. Doesn't seem right, man, when things don't go according to the way we believe and the way that we've worked for. You know, you put your time in, you do what you're supposed to do, keep your nose clean. And when it comes time for you to be rewarded, it doesn't seem like anybody's there to hand out the badges and the trinkets and the check. Brother, hang on, man. Hang on. Don't let go of it now. Don't blow your top. Don't do something silly. Keep doing what you've been doing, man. Providing, loving, sharing, and taking care of your people, man. That's the big thing, isn't it? So, I don't know how much longer you're going to put in, but hey, brother, there are worse things. I mean, trust me, I know a lot of them. I was some of them. But don't do that. You got a great buddy in Tommy. I'm sure you guys got plans to do something cool or fun or both. Just try to keep it in the middle of the road, man. Don't hit the ditches. Ditches ain't cool. All right, man. You take care of yourself. God bless you. And keep on trucking, man. And look at those people that denied you and smile. Don't let them know they got to you. All right.
Jeff, a little something from Jake the Snake.
That was very cool, man. That was very cool.
Yes, he put a little time and effort into that one. Tito kind of read off the script. Wasn't the greatest one ever, but Jake the Snake, I thought, did a nice job.
Yeah, listen, dude, they were both nice, and I know that you've been chomping at the bit for quite some time to get Tito on, so I know that you had to open up your wallet for that. And I'm sure Jake the Snake Roberts, as nice as his video was, he has a handsome fee too. But thank you.
No problem.
Because that's the thing that made it worthwhile. It is knowing that you went through this, all of this to do that for me, and I appreciate that. I really do. The videos, as cool as they are secondary. It was you thinking of me that made them definitely worthwhile. I thank you very much, dude.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're like a brother to me. You know, I love you for years.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man. It was really cool. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely welcome. I wanted it to be special. It's 55. I was at your 50th. It seems like yesterday. But
Holy shit. Oh, that was at the motorcycle club.
Yes, at the motorcycle club. Your band played, and my wife made a nice cake for you that night, the Black Sabbath cake.
The first night out for the Geezer Butler bass. And
yes.
I was pretty well fucking tanked.
Yes, you were. I just figured, like I said, I put this as one of those shows every year, Super Bowl shows and our training camp shows. And, you know, this is one I like to celebrate, and I tried to I had about two or three others that failed to come. Jake the Snake video came through today at like 2 o'clock. I was sweating that it was going to show up, and it did, and I was happy to get it up there. So I'm obviously thrilled that it made it onto the air. And, Jake, listen, I take no Jake, you know, pointed out that there's an idiot New York City mayor. I can't help that. Thank you, Jake.
Look, nobody can help that, man. He's, you know, anybody and their mother knows that this guy's a fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But, guys, we're having some fun. It's Jeff's 55th birthday celebration here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. His actual birthday is Saturday. But we celebrate it here tonight because it's on the air. And this is something I hope we get to do for a few more years. Doing this, and yes, Lenny, it's all about, you know, the people I grew up with. They don't have to be my blood to be my brother. And Jeff's a perfect example of that. Paul was on, a guy I know since second grade, PS13. There should be at least one more call in tonight. We'll see if he gets him in to call in. But in the meantime, you know, we got some more stuff to talk about.
I'd like to didn't get the chance to do it
when
Paul was on, but just so everybody knows, the reason that I play bass is because of Paul.
Yes.
And I had wanted to play drums, and my mother was like, absolutely no. I'm not buying a drum set. You're not getting a drum set. So I'm like, okay. So I remember being at the park with Paul, and I told him that I was going to play guitar, and he turns around and he says to me, he goes, no, don't do that. Don't play guitar. He goes, play bass. You'll always get into a band. So I thought about it, and then you and Richie let me hear some Iron Maiden albums.
Yep.
You know, Killers and everything else, and I was like, wow, that's what the bass does, and like, wow, that's, wow, holy shit. So I started to learn how to play bass, and thanks to you, Richie, and Paul, I've spent countless thousands of dollars on fucking basses and amps and all the toys that go along with it. I mean, maybe I would have a house up on Toad Hill if I did all that stuff.
You know, it's surprising, in a group of people, and it was not a huge group, but I would say in the guy category, we have probably 10, maybe regulars, eight regulars.
Me and my brother.
Yep.
You and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Paul.
Yep.
Jimmy.
Yep.
Joey. Jimmy Taylor.
Joey.
Mm-hmm. John Lisa for a while. Jimmy Galicchio.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 right there. Then, you know, the hangers on, so to speak, the Frustos.
The Morminos.
There was a whole bunch throughout the years that would fade in and out, you know?
Yeah, and the surprising part is in the group of, let's say, 9 or 10 regulars, I'll say maybe 8 or 9 regulars. I don't think Jimmy Taylor was a regular hanging out every day guy. Bob Pecoraro was in that, Father Bob.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 bass players. You can't find 3 bass players on the ferry on the way home in rush hour.
No, you can't, but it was just...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, yeah, that's definitely...
Now your mother was right. Your mom was up there for a second, and now she's gone. So I don't know if she gave up or, but it was.
I don't know what she's doing. She's texting me here. We're still watching, trying to call, but it's not going through.
No, she was there. She just has to be patient. I was waiting for you to finish.
You gotta be patient, mother.
Yeah. Hey, Mick, welcome, Mick Michaels, checking in. Corners of Sanctuary, great band. Played some videos for those guys.
Mom. Huh? My mom's asking me if I want drums. No. No, you know what? I'm trying to stay away from obsessions.
You are.
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
Okay.
And it's not working.
It's not.
It's not working.
What do you obsess over? Let me ask you that question. What would you consider a Jeff Tolwinski obsession?
I would buy a bass, mm-hmm. and as I'm bringing it home, I would immediately start thinking the next thing I'm going to start saving for. So I want this, I want that, I want this, whatever.
That's even now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I pretty much like trying to like stay away from buying instruments.
I agree. That on the wall right there is my last guitar purchase. That is it.
Listen, that's something that's a completely different kind of guitar.
Yes.
So you can have that guitar.
Yep.
But I'm talking like the ones that I was getting to play in. I got a closet right behind me, right over here.
Uh-huh.
Right behind that door. They all live right there. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And not a half of them don't come out. But
okay.
I still have them. So I'm like, well, I can't. And my wife is asking me, what would you like for your birthday? And I'm like, well, I can't get another bass. I'm not playing that much. You know, I was like, yeah. I can't get another amp. I don't need another amp. I got amps in there.
Yeah.
So then we get to the trucks.
Hold on a second. Mr. Tomwinski, don't go anywhere. Stay right there. You're up on the screen. I'm going to pick you up in 30 seconds. As soon as your son finishes the story. Go ahead.
So I'm thinking like, you know, what am I going to get? So I got something, a couple things coming for the truck and everything. But now I'm thinking in my stupid little mind, wheels, new rims. And I'm like, I don't know. But that's expensive. Can't do that. You know, but I got to spend this money on something. I can't just keep it.
Well, guys, I'm going to pick up Jeff's mom and have her on right after that. I got a video to play, short video. Then we'll do another song from Leonard. I don't know if I can get through the whole thing because we're kind of in the middle of the show, but we'll get through part of it because it is another tribute to Jeff and the show. And again, thank you, Leonard, for taking the time. But so stick around. We got plenty more to get to. We got some sports. Maybe we'll get some more people popping up. I am expecting another call. But in no time, let me get the without this woman, there would be no Hard Rock and Sports Show with Jeff and Tom. I spent a ton of time in this house growing up. And Jeff, you said it before, all the parents are great, and I agree with you. You know, I could come and go in the Brusco house, but there was no house I felt more comfortable in than your house. Your parents...
Thank God the Brusco house didn't put up a fucking,
well,
you know, the wand.
I'm surprised that the Brusco house didn't have a cashier at the door because with all the shopping we did, and again, shopping, we did at the Brusco house, there should have been a security guard at the door to make sure we were frisked as we left. So just to say, but again, one house that I was particularly comfortable and probably one of the few that I felt like I could go in and out of, and I spent many a morning and, you know, breakfast and lunch for every day of the week during the summer was Jeff's house with his parents, and they couldn't have been nicer, and they still are some of the nicest people. So let's get Jeff's mom on. Let her wish her baby boy a pre-happy birthday. Mrs. D, you out there?
They couldn't have been nicer, and they still are.
I think she's got the radio on. Mrs. T, you there?
I
don't think she can hear us, Jeff.
Mrs. T, you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
What are you doing?
Yes, she is. Hello, Mrs. T, how are you?
Mrs. T, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You got to lower everything, man.
No,
yeah,
I
you got to lower your computer volume.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
Yes, she is. Hello, Mrs. T, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm here. You got to lower everything, right, man. Yeah, you got to lower your computer volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm good. How are you?
I can't hear that well.
There you go. Can you hear
now?
Now
it's much better because you're listening to the show back two ways. Mrs. T, thank you for calling.
Yes.
I really appreciate you doing this. How are you and how is your husband?
Very good. My husband's here too. We're both watching.
Mr. T.
I also called not just to wish Jeff a happy birthday, Tommy. I want to make sure, has he been a good boy?
Well, I have to tell you. Now, this is my opportunity to do this. Mrs. T, listen, he's very mean to me. He's going around calling me a very, very bad name, and he's trying to get everybody to follow suit. And I don't know how to deal with this, so I'm hoping that you can straighten him out like you used to do when he was a kid.
I don't know if that would still work, Tom, but I'll just say this. Jeffrey, you stop being mean to Tommy.
See,
he's
I told
one of
you,
your
I
best friends.
She said, "You better be nice to Tommy." That's what she said.
I'll tell her it didn't work back then. I think it's gonna work now.
I gotta say, everybody wants to know the same thing. How was Jeff as a kid? Now I knew him in the streets hanging out, but how was Jeff at home?
Jeffrey at home, I have to say, was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that he was always good.
Now, is it true that Greg was your favorite?
Oh, you heard that from Jeff.
Oh, everybody knows that.
Greg was the baby.
Greg is the baby.
Ask Jeffrey how spoiled he was.
Jeff, is that true? But did Mom spoil you?
Oh.
I find that hard to believe. I know how well you treated him. And I think it's disgraceful that he doesn't admit to it.
I didn't say that I wasn't treated well. I just said I wasn't spoiled. Greg was spoiled. It was my birthday. Greg used to get a present, too. You know?
Is that true? Is that true, Mr.
No, that was not true. That was not true. Jeff had his own special.
You have to get him a little
Jeffrey
something
did not have a special day. Jeffrey had a special month.
See, Jeff?
His birthday wasn't just July 10th. It was the whole month of July.
Well, and it's the same now.
There was reasons for that.
That's right.
I don't celebrate the birthday like I once did, Tom. Believe me. One day you may see. If I live long enough, you'll see. I'll show you what a celebration is. My birthday is like fucking Ramadan. You take the whole month off.
Oh, Mrs. Yeah, I have to tell you, your house growing up was like a sanctuary for us. Now, listen, there was a little bit of shenanigans when you and your husband were at work. We were cooking, we were watching TV shows, we were playing sports. Well, we were pretty good, but there was a lot of shenanigans going on in your house while
they
you were at work.
Nothing broke, so they didn't care.
That's true. But
I'm not surprised, Tommy. But I have to tell you this, with Jeff and Greg, you, Richie, Joey, and Danny Brusco, it was like you were all our kids. I have to say that. We loved having you come. Joey still asked me today about my shepherd's pie. He says, when I cook it, can I invite him over? Sure.
You even Joey as one of your kids, because he was like the adopted retarded kid.
It was still like one of mine.
We know angles of Joey that no one else does.
That is very true. But listen, I want to thank you. I know you guys have got a lot of stuff going on, and I appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate that you called in tonight, and I appreciate that 55 years ago, you and your husband thought enough to get together and make a Jeff, so that I can be friends with him for 4 years.
You know what? To ask her what they did when I was born, they left me in the hospital.
Is that true?
Ask her.
It was true. When Jeffrey was born, Jeffrey weighed exactly 4 pounds, 12 ounces. He was an incubator baby.
Wow.
He
Look
couldn't,
at him now.
They wouldn't let him out of the hospital until he weighed 5 pounds.
Wow.
So we had to leave him there until he gained some weight, and then we could take him home.
Wow. See that?
But if you looked at Jeffrey today, you wouldn't know he was a 4-pound baby.
No, I take shits that weigh 4 pounds.
His underwear weighs that more at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it was so nice.
There was a thunderstorm or something, and you didn't come to see me that night, or whatever. You left me there.
There was a very bad storm. It wasn't a thunderstorm. It was a very bad storm. And roads were closed and everything else. Roads were flooded. So we couldn't, as a matter of fact, where we lived on Virginia Avenue at the time, it was right under the overpass on Virginia Avenue. The whole thing flooded. We couldn't even get the car out. So that's why we weren't there that night to see you. If the road didn't flood, we would have been there.
Mrs. T, answer this last question. Is it true that you left Jeff there in the hopes that somebody would come in and take him so you could try again and have a different one? Is it true? It's true, Jeff. I hate to have you find this out on your birthday.
If they already left me, they left me on Staten Island. I'm the only one left here.
It's true.
Well, we kept telling you, come out here with us.
Jeff, they're putting a little distance between you and them, Jeff. It's not a bad strategy on their part. It's not a bad strategy.
Listen, Tom, we're like 25 minutes away.
That's it. Close enough to come visit, but not enough to stop by every day. That's all. It's that close.
25 minutes.
Listen, he doesn't want us there every day, so we did him a favor.
If not more.
But the Golden Child does live close to you, though. Admit, it is a little something. The Golden Child lives a little closer to you. I have to tell you, I'm siding with Jeff on this one.
They follow the Golden Child.
Let me ask you, Tom. Who was your mother and father's favorite? Was Richie the baby?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Richie, my mother was Richie's. Richie was my mother's favorite. And my brother's sister was my father. That was it. I kind of fell in the middle. Like, I just was the unsqueaky wheel. But my dad, that was his princess. And my brother was, like, the runt of the litter. Even though he was the middle kid, he was always sick. He was always – there was always an issue. It's still to this day. Something happened in his head. But, yeah, that was the, that's how that worked. I kind of fell in the middle. But that's okay. But, I listen, I had a great childhood, and a lot of that was spent in your house, your yard, and with your family. So I want to say thank you for not only giving birth to my good friend Jeff, and I get to have 40 years of friendship with him, but thank you for being so nice to me, my brother, and all of us as kids. It was a pleasure, and you know, it was great to be in your company. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that, Tommy. And just so that you know, it was a pleasure for my husband and I also, because we were very fond of all you boys.
Wow, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. T. Listen, tell your husband I said thank you, wish him well for me, and hopefully we'll get to see you guys sooner than later.
Well, you're out here in New Jersey, Tom. Anytime you want to stop by, you're more than welcome.
There you go, Tom.
You know what? I promise you I will definitely do that. We will make some plans to stop by and say hello. I promise.
I'm going to tell Joey, too, if he lives nearby.
Yeah, Joey's he's
tell Joey, too. You come out, too, Jeff. We'll celebrate your birthday.
There you go. That sounds like a plan. We're going to make a plan to get all of us at your house for
traffic.
Yeah, I'll pick you up. Don't worry. I'll come get you. This is Keith. Thank you so much. Give my best to your husband.
Okay. Thank you, Tommy. I'll talk to you later, Jeff.
See you later, Mom.
Okay.
Jeff's
bye-bye.
Jeff's mommy. He can talk all he wants, but he's a mama's boy. I don't care what he tells me. Jeff, we got another call in. I'm going to get him on, but I'm going to play a quick video. It's not very long, but another person wanted to wish you a happy birthday. This is, I think, well, we have one more video to play, a Leonard singing for you, but this one I'm going to play, this is your last shout-out video. Then we'll get to our dear friend Joe Ganzis, and then we're going to play Leonard, and then we'll finish the show up, you and I, doing some sports. You okay? You're well-rested this week? You good to go?
Yeah,
starting
I didn't eat too much anything. I'm good.
All right,
the itching on my legs is keeping me awake.
So let's see if you recognize this person, and this is your last video of the night. Then let's we'll get to Joe.
Hey, cuz, happy birthday! Still waiting on your Connecticut visit.
What's up, cuz? That was a video.
That's just your cousin popping in, Allison. Up in Connecticut, wondering when you're going to pop by and see him. I would tell Allison, you couldn't, if you were 10 minutes further, 10 minutes closer, you still wouldn't see him.
Well, you know what? That's not true. Because they came to watch us at the benefit.
Absolutely.
And her family has a band called the In-Laws.
Yes, I absolutely saw that, yes.
Yes, and they're playing, I believe it's in the end of August, beginning of September or something. And I want to see what I can do about possibly getting up there to go watch the show, because they sound good. They're pretty good. And they did come down to watch us play, and I told her that I would go up there. So then the pandemic hit, right? Like, we played at Nornberger in November.
Yep.
And then by the time we went through Christmas and everything else, bang, the fucking pandemic happened. So we were never able to get it together. So I'm hoping that, you know, we'll be able to do something soon and start talking about me getting up there one way or another.
All right. Well, listen, if you go up and you want some company, if you and your wife, I will be happy to go with you. I'd love to see your family and return the favor for them to come to our thing. And, of course, once the WWE Museum opens up in Connecticut, we'll absolutely have a reason to go up there and spend some time.
Yeah.
But, again, guys, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great guests so far, some fantastic videos, which I will post on Facebook and obviously send to Jeff. And again, don't forget, Darren Michael Boyd joins Jeff and I next Thursday. The following week, Bobby Gustafson stops by for a visit. And then the 29th, we'll be off. Coming back on August 5th, we'll be doing our NFL training camp show. We do it every year. Love that show. Football's around the corner. I could smell it. And we're looking forward to a lot of stuff, good stuff coming up in the future. But for now, we are still celebrating Jeff's 55th birthday. But let's get our buddy on. I know he's at work, so let's get him on quick. He's used to be the producer of this show. He's has many successful solo projects. If you get a chance to see his side-by-side series, his drum remakes, and he does a lot of stuff for in the community. He's our good friend, Mr. Joseph Ganzis. What's up, Joey?
What's up, guys? What's up, Tommy? Happy birthday, Jeff.
Thank you, dude. What's going on, man?
Just working. I heard your mother. I tell you, it's just a treat to hear your mother's voice at any time. It's just awesome, bro.
Thank you, dude. I know that, you know, she used to like when you guys came over, you know, you heard her tell that to Tommy, and she always took care of you guys. Matter of fact, I don't know if it was you or Richie, Joe, but one of you came over, and my mother comes up to me and says, here's money. Go to this store. I think it was Richie. And she was like, go to the store and buy this, this, and this. And I'm like, but wait, he came here with Greg. Why do I got to go to the store? And she was like, talking back and go to the store and go buy this shit. And I got sent out to the store to go food shopping for the other person that was there. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But it is what it is.
Hey, Joe, you know, Paul was on earlier. I did it earlier. I gave a couple things. One was my first remembrance of Jeff when I first met him, and I always remember the first day I got to meet Jeff. And I also gave the one thing that would pop into my brain regarding me and Jeff growing up, and that was me and Jeff jumping on the 103. You know, it seemed like every day, but a lot to go by records. Sometimes just the two of us, sometimes with other guys. That's the one thing. There's tons of memories, but that's one thing that pops. Give me the two things that pop for you for Jeff. When you think back to when you met him and what you remember out of growing up with him.
Well, I remember, I think the first time I met him, I was scared shitless because I was small back then. And he was always bigger than us, Tommy. You remember, he was big then.
Yes.
He was bigger than us. Cause he's,
mm-hmm.
And I remember him coming down Butler Place. And I just said, who's this guy? And he looked at me like he wanted to kill me. And then he went into his house. He wasn't very talkative because I was hanging out with Jerry Brusco, and then we slowly became friends. But my first remembrance was Jeff was not very I was a little scared, to be honest with you. I remember
really?
The day. Yeah, serious. Because you were bigger than us back then. But my remembrance of you was I remember getting to old rock with you because you were the guy who had all the albums. I'm like, who's Rainbow? Who's Uriah Heep? The Who, you had all these great albums, and so you were a big part of me learning all these new bands. I was into Maiden and Priest, but you were into the, you know, the 70s rock, which was cool also.
Yeah, there was a lot of it, yeah. And I got to be honest, the first time that I remember you was you pulling the fucking fire alarm at the corner of Kesslin and Ullman Place, and my mother said to me, see that kid? Don't hang out with him. And next thing you know, here we are, like best of friends.
Yeah, I remember.
Joe, I don't want to get offended because Mrs. T said, you know, yous were all like sons, and I said all of us. She said, yeah, even Joey, he was like the kind of the retarded adopted son that I never had. I thought that's a good way to remember him.
Tom, you're. I was listening to the whole thing. You're on a roll tonight. Very good.
No, Joe.
You know,
Can I tell a story?
Hold on. Yeah, Jeff first. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, we've gone to see Queensryche like 10 or 11 times each, right? And whenever they would come around, Joey would call me up. He'd be like, Queensryche's coming. Let's get tickets. So we get tickets and we go. And it just me and him have seen so many concerts together from every place from Lamar's to the Garden. I mean, me and you have gone too. But I think I've seen like 10 times more concerts with Joey than anybody else.
Yeah, you guys saw you guys saw Spinal Tap together.
Spinal
Tap.
Joe, tell your story, Joe.
Well, I mean, when you hang out with somebody pretty much for 10, 12 years and you're inseparable, there's so many stories. But I got to tell you, not really a story. And I was honored to be asked to be Jeff's best man. When he married Sharon, and that was just I was just honored. I think it's 14 years now you're married, Jeff. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he asked me to be his best man, and I was taken back at first, but I said, yeah, it was honored. I mean, so many stories. Story.
What he told me when I asked him to be the best man?
What?
He was like, you sure you don't want to ask Greg? No. I said, Greg was already the best man. We see how that worked out. Like, maybe he was in bad luck. I don't know. We're going to shake things up a little bit.
I remember one time we were working at Mount Marisa, and I tell you what exactly, we were drinking, and all of a sudden I was dishwashing. I know Jeff was working. Were you there too, Tom?
Absolutely, yes.
And all of a sudden we're done, and Jeff comes into the kitchen with two Heinekens in his hand. I'm like, oh, this guy's cool. He had two Heinekens in his hand. We got so drunk, somehow his father, another great man, his father caught him on St. John's, Tompkins Avenue. I'll never forget, Tompkins Avenue in St. John's, and he wasn't too pleasant to Jeff. And I'm like, it's time to go home. Bye-bye.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you, my life, it could be compared to only one other person who's a celebrity, and that's Charlie Brown. When he goes for trick-or-treats and Halloween, and every house he goes to, he gets a rock. You guys were all fucking getting nice tips during the spaghetti dinner. I had the table of, like, dignitaries and never got a fucking dollar from anybody. Okay? And then with fucking drinking beer, like Joey's saying, they come running in on my father and grandfather.
Yes.
And they're like, your father's here. And I'm like, what? And I had all these little airplane bottles of fucking like liquor and shit shoved in my sock. And they get in the car, and my old man's swinging at me, like, trying to kill me.
My grandfather's
driving as fast as he can to get to the house. And I'm trying to dodge punches and throw the little bottles under the seat so that I won't get caught. And then we get home, and my father picks up a 2x4, and he goes to Izzy, and my grandfather's like, Richie, stop, what are you doing? So my father stops and looks at him, and my grandfather's like, don't do that out here. So I'm like, oh, thank God, man, he saved me. He goes, bring him in the fucking house. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that day.
Listen, we got tons of stories. It's like a walk down memory lane. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've been telling stories the whole time. I opened the show with it, and I don't know which ones are my favorite or some that just stand out. But you know, to think back that far and some of the things we did, some of the stupid things we did. Did either one of you guys work with me? I actually at probably 14 or 15, I was the bartender at the Mount Marisa New Year's Eve party, and I bartended.
I worked there.
Yeah, I worked at Mount Marisa during the regular year for a year or so. But one night they let me be they hired me, and me and one of us. I don't know if it was you, Joe, but I was literally the bartender. I couldn't even drink. Didn't know what anything was, and I was mixing drinks for the priests and all their guests.
I got a story real fast about that. Yeah. So Mount Marisa. So I was so messed up back then. I was just a horny little, probably, yeah, I'm not like I'm normal now. I was probably a little horny 13, 14-year-old kid. So there was the boys' bathroom and girls' bathroom, and there was so many hot girls. Angela's daughter had all her friends. So what I did is I would go hide in the girls' bathroom. But I would put the boys' sign on the girls' bathroom so they would come in and see me.
Wait, hold on, Joe. One question before you go any further. Yeah. Is the statute of limitations run out on this offenses of yet?
Yeah, be careful.
Yes.
They did prosecute Crosby after a lot of years. Bill Cosby got
Make sure if they come for you, make sure you get them to say that they're not going to press charges against you. So you'll get out like Bill did.
But I actually got caught in the act. That was crazy.
So, Joe, did you see anything, though, first, or you didn't get a chance to get anybody?
No, I was too scared.
Oh, my God. No, that's Joe Gander. Joe, so I see you keep yourself busy, Joe, every day. The side-by-sides, I see the drum videos, all that stuff. How do you do it, Joe? I mean, you work a full-time job. You work double shifts on Friday. You got crazy hours. How do you do all of that?
I don't know. I'm probably getting 4 hours sleep a day, but I'm not, you know, I don't sit down and relax good. I don't even like to sleep. I think sleep is boring, but I like to always do something, and I get up in the morning and I pretty much go in the garage or I'm doing stuff or this and that. Jeff came over last Friday and just kicked ass with two songs. The videos are on my page. It was great. We did some great stuff with the side-by-side. Just having guys come over and play, it's great to collaborate with these great musicians and make different endings and make different songs. It's a lot of fun, you know. But I just keep busy. I keep busy.
We have, me and Joey, we have another one in the works.
Yeah.
We don't know when it's going to happen, but we started choosing some songs, and I was kind of shocked. Joey picked a Motown song that I'm not going to reveal now. But it looks like it's going to – I started fucking with it last night, and it was a lot of fun to get through the parts that I already did. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And here I am thinking, like, he may want to go a different direction this time. And we just did a Motown song with Kids of a Clown from Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really cool, man. And, hopefully I'll get this one done soon, too.
Yeah, I think Jeff's 55 this year. I think I've been around Jeff for 39 years. If I think I got, Jeff, 82, you were 16. I think 82 I came in. So probably 39 years. I don't know if you're a little longer than him, Tom, but I'm pretty much 39 years.
I would say, Joe, I mean, I met Jeff, I can tell you right now, it was February 1981 in Jerry Brusco's house.
Right.
So I know for sure when I met Jeff, that I'm confident in. Again, other than that, I'm not sure when the whole crowd came together thing, but it was definitely 81. So it's 40 years
ago. Had to be somewhere between 81 and 82 because we had played, all of us were off during the summer. We were playing cards
absolutely. Yes.
So, we did that for a couple summers. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Paul Gill
cracking open tuna cans, sitting in my garage and just going like this and letting all the tuna come out. And then my garage smelling like a fucking fish store. And
there's
just fucking cats all over the place.
You remember John Panino Halloween throwing stuff off the roof?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God.
I ran to John Panino's first. And me and him went to the A&P in Rosebank, got a couple cartons of eggs. And you got to remember, John Panino at the time might have been like fucking 25. He was a kid himself.
Yeah, yeah.
We go to get eggs. We go up on his roof, and he's smoking a bone, standing right on the edge of the roof. And then all of a sudden, I hear him go, the reinforcements have arrived because people are throwing eggs back at us now. And here comes Joey, Richie, and John Lisa with a case of well, I think we uploaded a case of eggs. It seemed like no time at all. It was great.
Yeah.
We were swinging eggs in every direction. It was fucking sick.
Yeah, but Tom, how about me, you, and Jeff just walking Rosebank in '83, rugs and rubber.
Walking in the weeds, picking up old people, picking up people's old carpets and rubber, and carrying it to your house in the dead of summer.
And using one nail.
Taking it out of the woods, like hoisting it and putting it on yourself and walking it. Meanwhile, nowadays, I'd be afraid to touch it. Like, I'm not even touching it.
The smell that it must have been. I'm not sure why we didn't vomit from the smell of hanging it in your thing. And we slept in there, Joe. I slept in that thing at least twice with you. Not together.
Yep.
Not together, but we did sleep in the same place together.
Oh my God, great stuff.
Hey Bill, before you go real quick, I told Jeff earlier and Paul when he was on, I think that the home run derby is killing baseball because I think it put people's too much focus on hitting home runs and people have stopped situational baseball's gone, bunt in, hit and run, doing all that kind of stuff. You got any agreement with that? You think I'm far off?
Tom, I'm sorry, did you say situational? Is that a word that nobody knows no more?
Exactly, yeah.
Tom, I watch baseball with my brother, and I curse the screen real fast. You got a guy that's playing in the, on the outfield grass, first and second, and he can't lay a bunt down. I could crawl to first base. And baseball, to me, I love it, and I agree with the home run derby. I get so frustrated because I'm such a big baseball fan, and I watch these games, and you got to, Tom, you got a pitcher that just threw eight balls in a row, right? Eight balls
yep.
in a row. He walked two guys. What does the guy do? He swings at the first pitch. Let him throw a strike.
You're asking a lot, Joe. You're asking for situational baseball that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, bunt, and God forbid if we take the second baseman out, and God forbid if we hit this guy to wrong. It's just crazy. But the home run derby, it's not what it was, but it's I get so frustrated with this game I love so much, and I watch these guys. But Tom, if we're saying to Jeff, Tom, if I'm saying to the screen, why isn't the coach telling the guy to bunt or steal? It's crazy.
Yeah. Listen,
they're there at the game, Joe, and they know that the people that are watching the game nowadays, for the most part, the last thing they want to see is a suicide squeeze. They don't want to see this.
They want to see
the ball go over the fence.
Not even suicide. You got no outs, first and second. If you lay a bunt down to third base, now that third baseman's coming in. Now the shortstop has to go cover. It's pretty much that guy's going to be on third. Even if you get the guy out on first, now you have second and third, one out.
Joe, it's insanity. And I'll tell you, when I read today in the paper, Luis Rojas, the Mets manager, he said that he was upset, but he tried to talk Lindor out of bunting so much. He's bunted has five sacrifice bunts, and he thinks he said, I'd rather him swing away. And I'm saying to myself, you got one guy in this league who's actually laying down sacrifice bunts, doing something for the team because he's not hitting.
Yeah.
The guy can't hit
so
far, and the manager doesn't want him to do it. That's the mentality of baseball today.
Yeah.
You know, we need guys. We need Billy Martin back. We need Sparky Anderson back. I'm serious. We need Earl Weaver, Tommy Lasorda, guys who had balls.
I said, Joe, 2 weeks ago, the Yankees should fire Boone and hire Buck Showalter. I'm not the biggest Buck Showalter fan, but I would rather see a guy, an old school manager, for the rest of the season, try to inspire these guys and teach them to play the game. Boone to me is not the guy I want.
This team looks like it gave up already. Come on, man. They're 10 and a half out of first place. They don't want to be in there no more.
Yeah, but Joe, you're wholeheartedly correct, Joe. And Jeff, you're right. It doesn't seem like they're playing hard, but Joe, I agree. I'd like to see some old-school managing for a change.
One more stat I heard real fast. A mind-blowing stat. 53 years, the Yankees, since 68. The Yankees have only had seven losing seasons since 68. That's mind-blowing. Think about it.
Well, think about the last 20-something years, since 94, I believe, the Yankees have not had one single year with a below 500 record.
Right, since
at least, I think 92, 93, 91, they might have losing records. 94 on, five World Series and no losing season. So, listen, they're doing something right, but it's still ain't good baseball right now.
Yeah. But Jeff, listen, guys, I got to get back to work.
I love you
both like brothers. Jeff, happy birthday. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great show.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you calling in, Joey.
You got it. Bye, man.
That's our friend Joe Ganzis. He checked in. Jeff, I think that was the official last caller of the Jeff birthday show, unless somebody's going to surprise us. Thank you, Will Cloak, for wishing Jeff a happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I have it on my list of people that I got to send out thank yous to.
Okay, listen, no problem. But I got one more video. I want to play it. I don't know if I'm going to get through the whole thing. It's Leonard's it's really his first song because that's the first one he sent me, but I played the other one first. But, Jeff, I'm going to play at least a minute or two of this, if you Leonard did this for you, and let's play this, and then we'll get back. We'll do some sports and finish the show.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me get it up here, and there it is.
The best of everything. That's what I wish you all. the best of everything. A ribbon on the wall, a yacht that wins you cups, skateboards with style and speed, show dogs all loving pups, the pride of the pound or the head of green. I hope you win that prize, pass that blue ribbon test. I hope your good keeps getting better till your bed is best. With every wine you taste, with every song you sing, by now you may have guessed, I hope you get the best of everything. The best of everything, that's what I wish you all. The best of everything, a red rag hanging on the wall. I hope you win that prize, pass that ribbon test. I hope your good keeps getting better till your bed is best. With every wine you taste, with every song you sing, by now you may have guessed, I hope you get the best of everything, and it won't accept any less.
And that is our Rosebank cousin, Mr. Leonard Torsen, Leonard Anthony, our good friend. And I want to again thank him very much from the bottom of my heart for taking the time out to record those, especially for Jeff. And
yes,
if you get,
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
He's a good dude, and I look forward to getting together with him now that the pandemic's over, or I think it's over. I'm not really sure, but
it's not over yet.
Well, I got your variants.
And the reason it's not over yet is because we haven't hit that elusive 70%, and because we haven't hit the 70%, the Delta variant is coming to get us.
Oh, now it's a Delta variant, Jeff.
Yes.
I got a secret for you, by the way. 99.1% of the people will survive the Delta variant, Jeff. I promise.
Listen, I'm not too worried about the Delta variant. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't wear masks.
Yep.
Okay, and I go out and I do what I need to do. I'm not going to go get in somebody's face and tempt fate. I'm not going to live with a sheet on my face unless I absolutely positively must, because that's the rule of where I am, and then even then I may leave the place that I'm at, you know.
Yep.
Thank God for HIPAA laws, huh?
Thank God is right. Thanks, Jim McCarthy, for wishing Jeff a happy birthday. Yes. Leonard, thank you very much.
Thank you that came on and had a little something to say tonight, man. It was very nice to everybody. I appreciate it. You know, listen, whenever somebody thinks so much about you that they're going to stop doing what they're doing to send you a text or anything of that nature, it makes you feel good, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate everybody contributing tonight. It was a lot of fun to put this together. I had two more videos I was hoping for. It would have really made my night. But I'm happy with what we got. I thank everybody from Leonard and everybody else. And I'll thank everybody at the end of the show. But I thank everybody.
Who were the other two videos from?
One was Vinny Appice. Vinny Appice was supposed to get,
cool.
Yep, and the other one was Ricky the Dragon. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, I was hoping to get, and he just never got back to, they have a certain amount of time to do it, and if they don't do it, it expires, and I got an email yesterday saying your time limit has been expired, and blah, 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 so.
Yeah, You know what's amazing?
What's that?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yep.
Okay? Ricky, we know you're not doing anything, bro. We know you're not doing anything. You had time to do this.
Yeah.
If somebody approached you and said, come on, man, do this for me, please, you could have done it. You could have done it right.
I get it. I and I'm going to say goodbye to everybody on the radio side. The radio is going to go dark now. So I'll say goodnight to everybody on the radio side. You still got enough little energy left. You want to end it? You want to take a...
I got to put my central in real
quick. Good.
So I'm going to do as far as the radio, and let me put this on. I'll be right back.
Good. So again, guys, we're here at the...